Would you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts prove to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Well, today represents the second week of our early summer sermon series, Safe in the Shepherd's Arms, an examination of Psalm 23. Now, for those of you who were here last Sunday, you might be thinking, well, Doug, this feels like deja vu. Didn't we just read these three verses last Sunday? The answer, of course, is yes. But I would gently remind you that last weekend was Memorial Day weekend, which means that we didn't need to ask anyone to squeeze in for some more people to get in here. There was no problem at all finding a parking space on the last Sunday of May. So many of our brothers and sisters are hearing these three verses for the first time in this setting. And besides, last week our focus was upon the line, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We focused upon God being a benevolent caregiver that ensures that we have what we need, both provision and protection during all seasons of our life. And today, same three verses, but a different focus. The Lord is my shepherd, and the shepherd leads me in right paths for his name's sake. This week, I learned another fun fact about sheep, not being a farm boy myself. It came from an author by the name of Philip Keller. And what makes Philip Keller so interesting is that he writes not as a pastor, as he comments on Psalm 23. And Philip Keller is not a scholar of the Hebrew Bible. But instead, Philip Keller is a shepherd. That's what he does for his work. So from that perspective, he offers commentary around this most famous psalm of David, Psalm 23. It'd be akin to a zookeeper offers commentary on the story of Noah and the ark, or a carpenter offers commentary about the story of Jesus of Nazareth. You can trust a shepherd to help us better understand this psalm. And this is what Keller says. The shepherd says that what he knows about sheep is that sheep are notorious for being creatures of habit. Creatures of habit. He said, left unattended, a flock will always take the same path to the pasture. No matter how rutted, no matter how difficult the terrain, if they have walked that path yesterday, they will walk it today. And sheep tend to have a favored grazing ground, a favored pasture. They will eat and eat and eat from the same pasture. They like their routine. But the shepherd tells us, Keller says, that actually, if we follow the inclination of routine-loving sheep, this actually leads to serious decay. The decay of the field. You know, you eat the grass down to the roots. That's not good. But more than that, if sheep continue to graze on one pasture for a few days too long, the pollution begins to pile up. And you know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about pollution. And that leads to serious, dangerous decay, because with more piling up pollution, that becomes a prime breeding ground for parasites. And with parasites come worms. And with worms come scabs and disease. The sheep, their preference is the same path and the same field. In contrast, Keller says it's the wise shepherd that is always looking two steps ahead, where we're going to feed tomorrow and where we're going to feed the next day. The wise shepherd is constantly seeking new paths leading to new fields in order to keep that flock rejuvenated. Keep it on the move, even when the flock doesn't want to move. That results in healthy sheep. It results in a familiar pasture being able to become rejuvenated as the flock moves on. It's good for the environment. And finally, it's good for the shepherd because a healthy, reproducing, growing flock means plenty of resources for the shepherd and the shepherd's family. Keller notes that there is a tension between sheep who want the familiar and the same and shepherds who are constantly leading sheep on new paths to new pastures. You know, there is another creature that's also notorious for loving routine, loving the same, and that's you and me as human beings. Researchers years ago at the University of Southern California discovered that at least 50% of our life, 50% of your life and mine, is a simple repeating of past patterns. We're not even conscious of it every day, but so much of our life is doing the same thing the same way. Think about your life, how you get up in the morning and how you go to bed. Think about what you eat. I would dare say that some of you will be leaving today's service and be returning to a familiar pasture, your favorite restaurant, after this. And you're probably going to order the same meal. And you're probably going to be sitting with the same people. The same people, the same experiences, the same patterns of life. And I'm just as guilty of this. For me, it's every Sunday morning at Bob Evans, looking over the sermon with eggs and sausage and coffee. That's the best way to get ready for Sunday. And the waitress, she already knows what I want every week. We are creatures of habit. Exhibit A is right here in this sanctuary. Some of you have been members of this church for 35 years, and you have sat on this side of the church for 35 years. You don't even know what it looks like over here. Those of you in the back, you have no idea what it looks like down here. Don't think you folks are off the hook. You've been here 25 years and you haven't been over there. Are we not creatures of habit? Same thing, same people, same food, same experiences, same, same, same. But we need to acknowledge that we now find ourselves in tension with the shepherd, God, a God who yearns to lead us on new paths to new pastures, a God that yearns for us to develop new relationships with new people, a God that yearns for us to have new experiences, new ways of service, a God who invites us to set aside life-diminishing bad habits, to take up more life-enhancing habits that bring more health and wholeness in our life. We like the familiar paths, rutted paths leading to scrawny fields. But it's the shepherd who is beckoning us always on fresh paths to lush fields, new experiences in our life. I can tell you firsthand that if you're willing to take a risk and to begin breaking some routines in your life, you will find yourself rejuvenated. I can say this firsthand. Actually, I had a little taste of that this week. This Tuesday, as we have for many, many years, you know, a church established, flagship church like Epworth, been around a long time. We do a lot of the same things over again. And that includes in our staff. It's been our custom that at the end of May, we take one meeting, a prolonged staff meeting, to look at the calendar for the next upcoming year, the next 12 months. It was Moses from Mount Sinai who said that the Epworth staff must do this at the end of May every year. Now, I got to be honest with you. If you've known me a little bit, I'm kind of an ADD guy by nature. I do not look forward to this staff meeting. It kind of feels like when you go to your grandmother's house and she brings down the puzzle that you've done eight times before, just shakes it up and puts it on the table. We've been here before. That's the way it kind of feels when you're looking at the calendar for the upcoming year. I got lost at times. I was daydreaming. They were talking about April. I was already moved on to June. It was getting rough about 30 minutes into this meeting. But then suddenly God showed up. A spirit showed up. When somebody said, maybe we can try some things new around here. So for example, we came to the date at the end of April, the Glass City Marathon. You know, we provide hospitality for runners and families. It's a beautiful thing. But someone said this year it was really frustrating because a lot of people couldn't come here for worship because it seemed that every street in Toledo was closed off. Somebody said, what about just one Saturday of the year? There's 52. We're just going to try this once. What if we were on that Glass City Marathon weekend? What if we offered just that evening on a Saturday, just once, a 5 o'clock service? I know, you're looking at me like I have three heads. You know, I know, this is a new path. It's a new pastor. We like familiar. But what if we offered this opportunity for those who didn't want to fight traffic on Sunday morning and we could gather the evening before? And someone else said, you know, that's amazing when you start breaking pattern, how the Spirit continues to give more of itself. Someone else said, well, you know, we shouldn't just do this for Epworth people. But what if we were to build this to the entire community? Come marathoners, come supporters, come all who are going to be first responders or police for that event on Sunday morning. We'll still have our Sunday services, but for the Saturday service, we're going to make this a celebration and a blessing of all of those people. Wouldn't that be a great community outreach? Now, I was feeling rejuvenated with this type of conversation. Someone else came up with an idea that's even more radical than that. I know, this is so dangerous. The bishop on Wednesday is going to be announcing the new appointments. I'm so in danger even talking about this before they announce the appointments. Someone said, you know, our midsummer festival, you know, the outdoor worship, the block party, it's great. What about not this year? Couldn't do it this year because we need committees and subcommittees to continue to do the work for a year kind of deal. That's the way we work. But what about next year? We invite people to bring their animals to be blessed. Dogs and cats and birds and horses and lizards and snakes. No snakes. What if we made this opportunity for our people? And then someone else said again, what if we offered this to the community? What does this say about the God that we are presenting to Toledo? If a God would care enough for an animal, my family member, how much more will the triune God, does the triune God care for me? It is exhilarating to break out of old patterns and to see new possibilities, to follow a spirit, a shepherding spirit, on a new path to new pastures. That's true not only for congregations, but that's true for individuals as well. So in conclusion today, I would just ask you to reflect upon this question. What new path is God calling you to take? Or what new pasture is God calling you to feed from? Maybe it's a new habit. Maybe for your marriage, it's about getting out of a rut and trying something new. Maybe it's a new relationship, a new experience, a new way of serving. What new thing is God calling you to? Let's reflect upon that on this Sunday as we celebrate graduates moving on to new pastures. In a moment, as we commission Stephen ministers and leaders who are exercising a new way of service. And yes, let's keep this question in our hearts as we come to the table of Jesus Christ today, a table of a shepherd who will provide for us the nourishment we need for the new journey that the shepherd leads. Friends, let us stay close to a shepherd who is always on the move, a shepherd that is always making all things new. Thanks be to God. Amen.